All right, welcome to episode 118. I am Mick. This is A Gal and a Gay.
And I'm Kitty, the gal.
The gal of the gal and gay.
Of the gal, yes. Exactly.
So, this is kind of a cool episode. We got a chance to speak with a local leader of the geeks.
Right, maybe? I would agree. She's a geek, she's leader in the geek world for sure. Geek connoisseur.
Yeah, and she actually found us, and then you reached out to her and talked to her?
Yeah, I did. So a while back when she was starting her website, kcgeeks.com, she was doing a series of interviews with local Kansas City podcasters, and so she found us and reached out, and we did a little interview for her website. And so that's how we got in touch, and so we've been meaning to have her on the podcast for a while, so we finally got around to it. And it was a pleasure. I mean, she was fantastic, and she's a lot of fun, and she has a lot of great insight and all the geeky things that Kansas City has to offer. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun, yeah.
Because we're immersed in the geek world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, our podcast is all about pop culture.
Right.
And that just, there's so many different aspects mm-hmm. to pop culture, and the geek world just kind of fits in really well
exactly.
underneath pop culture, because it really does affect so many different things in mm-hmm. pop culture, from, you know, Star Trek to mm-hmm. Star Wars. And it's not just sci-fi. I mean,
no.
There are all kinds of different...
Exactly. You know, and we had a great conversation. She was telling us about the different niche kind of things that are out there. If whatever you're into, anime, you know, any of that stuff, there's all kinds of things in Kansas City that you may not know about, then, and she really helps you. She breaks it all down on her website, kcgeeks.com again. So it was a lot of fun, you know, because we like pop culture in general, and we each have our own things that we're really into. And then there's some things that we are not so much into, we're aware of, but, you know, we don't dive so much into them just because they're not our interest, which is not a bad thing. Everyone's got their thing. So, you know, it's just a we embrace geekiness as a whole. So whatever mm-hmm. you're into,
right, and
we appreciate it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to dress up as
exactly.
you're in cosplay
yeah.
to be
there's
a geek.
Not one form of geek. You know what I mean? Like, there's not one
right.
thing of geek. You can be a geek about anything. So
right.
anyway.
All right, well, here is our interview with Angie.
All right, joining us now is Angie Pedersen. She is with KC Geeks. Angie, thank you so much for joining us
today.
Yeah,
absolutely. Always ready to talk geek stuff with anybody who will listen, and even some people who won't.
Whether they like it or not.
That's right.
Well, we'll first start out with, okay, tell us a little bit about KC Geeks.
All right. It is kcgeeks.com is a resource hub for everything geeky in Kansas City. So I do features on different geek meetup groups and groups that get together and educational opportunities and resources that you can find in Kansas City, as well as maintain an event calendar so people can kind of look that up and just see various things that are going on in the city, as well as like movie and TV premieres that, you know, so I had Iron Fist was on there, you know, for it premiering this past over on Friday and things like that. So that's, and it's, I've been doing it about a year and a half. I think it, the first post was December 2015. So.
Well, how did you even get the idea to found the KC Geeks?
Well, you know, there's so many flavors of geek, right? You know, there are gaming geeks, and there are comic geeks, and there are anime geeks, and all sorts of things. And there's all these really cool things going on in Kansas City, but you kind of have to go search them out, and you have to search them out by topic, and you have to know people that are also doing it. And if you're a person that's new to the city, or you don't have any other friends that like what you like, then it's really hard to find all that information. So I just wanted to create a place that had everything compiled, and you could go to one place and find out all sorts of different things. And what's really cool is that you can find out something you didn't know you were interested in, and oh my gosh, now I love it, right? And actually, I got an email from a guy that I don't remember what his email was about, but I emailed back and forth with him a little bit, and I asked him what brought him to the site, and he says, well, I was looking for a Star Trek fan club, but when I got to your site, I found out there's also a Tolkien fan club, and that's really cool, because you don't search Star Trek and find out about Tolkien, you know? So he was really excited that he could find out all sorts of things in one place.
Wow. So how did you become a geek?
Birth, basically. That happened. Well, we're not going to talk about when that happened. Thank you very much. But I grew up watching all sorts of geeky things with my dad. Mostly Star Trek. We would watch the Star Trek reruns over dinner, and I would sit on, my brother and I would sit on the floor with TV trays and eat our dinner and watch old Star Trek episodes. It had already been canceled by the time we were watching it, but it was still actively running in reruns. So watch that. I also, every Sunday, I would watch the Tarzan rerun series with my dad. And I also remember seeing Wrath of Khan when it originally came out in the theaters with my dad. So he's an engineer, so that's his main geek. But he also, he's into sci-fi and fantasy and all sorts of stuff. So I kind of grew up doing all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people think that that I know that I became a geek when I met my husband, because he's an uber geek as well. I'm like, oh, honey, it started so many decades before that.
You know, my dad also kind of fueled my geekiness, too. We watched Star Trek a lot with my dad. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but I remember watching the original with my dad and yep. Enterprise a lot when I was a kid. And it was
yes.
That I got into movies and stuff, and since I was a little kid, I've always loved movies.
Yep. So, yep.
Yeah, I had my dad to thank for that, and we still talk about movies and everything. So, and he's into comic books and stuff, and he gives a good perspective. So,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny how you inherit your geekiness from your parents.
yes, and we have taught our children very well as well. As a matter of fact, we came up with a cultural literacy list that, because we noticed we would like watch Simpsons with them, and they are full of pop culture references, right? And the kids would be like, is that supposed to be funny? Why is that funny? And we'd have to, well, it's actually a reference to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and then we'd go watch that movie, so they would understand those references. And so we made this list of all these things that are often referenced in pop culture kind of references, and so they could see the source of it. And now they can watch Simpsons and, you know, understand absolutely everything. So we've done our job well.
Simpsons also really is a pop culture obsession too, I think. I watched it since I was probably like 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly did learn a lot from watching this.
Well, and all the other animation is kind of taken their cue from right. The Simpsons, like Bob
right, yeah. Family Guy is very much the same way, obviously, with their Star Wars parodies and things like that.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
So, if let's say somebody's listening to this that's not in Kansas City, they're like, "Oh, why is Kansas City? Like, what is there geeky to do in Kansas City?" What would you tell them, Andy?
Well, visit kcgeeks.com and you will find out what there is to do about in Kansas City. I would probably try to probe a little bit deeper and find out what their primary source of geekiness is. You know, if they're into comics, then I would tell them about the various comic cons that we have and various cons in general, and you know, where are they in the city, so I could point them. As a matter of fact, I did get an email from a guy, or a Facebook message from a guy who lives in St. Louis but was visiting Kansas City with his family and wanted to know where to go for comics. And so I asked where they were staying in the area, and he goes, it doesn't matter, we'll go wherever. And so I pointed him to the page on my website that lists all the stores in the Kansas City area and also where they are in Kansas City, so they can kind of get a feel, am I near Overland Park? Am I near Olathe? Am I North KC? Am I, you know, in all those various areas in the Kansas City. And then I would just point them to the resources that are most applicable to them.
Well, and you were just mentioning how Kansas City has a couple cons that people can choose from. And that's just recent that we've had a second one kind of pop up.
Yeah, I want to say maybe 2 to 3 years, I think. I think Planet's been going on maybe 10-ish. I'm not entirely sure. I could Google it and find out. But but yeah, we've got Planet Comic Con is in April this year, and Kansas City Comic Con, which this year is in November. The organizers know each other, and they try to spread them out a little bit because it really just serves both con more effectively, because then people can save up between. Right.
But it is nice, like you said, that there's one kind of in the springtime, one in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And Planet Comic-Con was big before everyone started using the KC Comic-Con or Detroit Comic-Con or whatever. So it makes it stand out. It they get some big names.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Gosh, yes. Go ahead, Kat.
How big geek culture is now, you know, especially in the past few years, I think it's gotten even more popular.
I agree.
Yeah, so... And I like that it, you know, it's not just for super geeky people with a neat thing. It's for anybody who likes just pop culture in general, which I really like. So,
right. Yeah. Every time we told somebody, oh, we're going to a Comic-Con in Kansas City or the one in San Diego, like, well, what are you dressing up as?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, well, we're not that kind of geek.
Right. Yeah. Nothing against cosplayers. I really
have
a lot of love for them because that's commitment. But
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Right, it's just that's not my thing.
Right, but a lot of people just assume that, oh, then that just means you're going to go dress up as something.
Yes.
Right. I will wear, for the 3 days, I, of course, have already planned out my wardrobe for Planet Comic-Con. But the first day, I'll wear my KC Geeks t-shirt to kind of promote the site. The second day, I have an Agent Carter cosplay, but it's just literally a dress and a hat. So it's not full-on, like, body armor or face paint or anything like that. It's kind of subtle cosplay. In fact, I plan to wear the dress to work at some point. So, and then the next day, the last day, I'll wear a t-shirt promoting a Kansas City charity. You know, serves kids. So, I don't have a lot of cosplay. We go to a couple of cons out of town, and I bring one steampunk outfit, and that's all that I really do. I don't do as much cosplay as some do. Oh my goodness. My husband even created a separate Instagram account so he could follow all cosplayers just to see what people are doing.
Really?
Yeah. So because it can be rather inappropriate to look at work.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
So who are you seeing at Comic-Con? Are you planning on getting any of those autographs?
Not at this point. My husband is already planning a photo op with Billy Piper from Doctor Who and various other endeavors. I would love to meet and talk to Felicia Day. She's done so many varied things and started things. I mean, she's really a pioneer. So I would love to get, you know, like 10 minutes with her. I will have a press pass, so I'm fingers crossed I have some opportunities like that. But there's all sorts of them. I mean, they have so many this year. I would be happy to talk to any of them.
Yeah.
Well, and wasn't it just this year where you got your media pass for the first time?
Yeah, I didn't even try last year for Planet. It I don't know if it didn't occur to me or I just didn't notice the deadlines or what it was. So I didn't get one for Planet last year. And what it was, we were not in town. My stupid son had to go and graduate from college. So, you know, in New York City, so we had to go to New York City instead of going to Planet. So, but then I did get a press badge for KC Comic-Con which was like 2 weeks later. And that was pretty cool. You know, people recognize and respect the badge, and so they're always happy to talk to you. So it makes it quite a different experience to go through a show with a press badge. They're just clamoring to talk to you. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll take it. Compared to some other places that we've gone, where they want to avoid you if you have a media badge. But a place like Planet Comic Con or Casey Comic Con, there's just so much fun. Like last year when we went, wasn't that when you interviewed the Supernatural?
I did. It's the Mary the Impala. It's the local.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get her on the blog. So yeah, I'm familiar.
Helped build it, and he was there at the show, and it was just a lot of fun because I'm a big
fan. That would be cool.
Yeah, and so they were really nice and had all this insight. He'd actually been to the set, and like one of the cars was featured in an episode, and it was just really neat to hear the behind the scenes thing. So yeah, it was
cool. Love that. I love it.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably be at Comic-Con again this year, I would think.
For some reason last year, maybe it was just the setup they had, but it was bigger and like more people were interested.
Right.
It was more highlighted than in years past where they had them all in the back.
Yeah, I agree.
They kind of spread them out.
It did feel
and I think it worked better.
A little bigger last year.
Yes. Well, it's been continually growing, and they actually have a chief marketing officer now. So they're working it as a full time business. So.
Cool.
And I've also noticed this year they have done a lot more partnerships with other area businesses, and like they're like co-hosting movie showings at the Alamo, and they are co-hosting cosplay classes at Hammer Space, so people can go and make like this blade from this video game or whatever. And they're really getting out there and proactively searching out partnerships that they're doing year round. It's not just a week before the show, or you know, really finite to the timing of the show. It's during the whole year, so that, which is brilliant to me.
Right.
I mean, keep your name in the minds of your fans throughout the year, and that just prolongs the hype. I think it's genius.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about Planet Comic Con, Casey Comic Con. Angie, have you ever been to San Diego for Comic Con?
We tried last year. We had our member IDs, and you have to. It's like a lottery, literally, because we had four IDs. So my husband and I and our two kids, and so I had two browsers open. My husband had two browsers open, and we both got into the lobby. Once you get released from the lobby, then you can buy the tickets. And we never got out of the lobby, and we just kept seeing all these notifications that Friday tickets are sold out, Saturday tickets are sold out. And so we're like, okay, Thursday and Sunday, do we go to San Diego if we can only get Thursday and Sunday? Do we go only if we can get in on Sunday? And then everything sold out. We never got out of the lobby, so it was kind of moot.
Sucks. Yeah. The year we went in 2015, mm-hmm. and luckily there were three of us.
Yeah.
In different areas, and we were all just kind of waiting in the lobby, and then one of us got through, and
and that was the other thing, is you can only buy three tickets. So we're like, what do we do?
Right.
If one of us gets through, does one parent take both kids, or do we decide which kid we like best?
then you start your own lottery.
That's right.
Who gets to go to San Diego?
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, but yeah, you're right. It is such a, like, I don't know, such a big deal, and then, you know, just trying to get the tickets is so stressful.
It really is.
It was. We had to, like, take the rest of the day to recover because our hearts were racing the entire, which is so stupid, but it was. And we could be going. We might be going. Oh, man, we're not going. And actually, my husband and I went on a walk afterward just to kind of burn off the stupid geek adrenaline.
Well, and I think the trick is you get in 1 year, and then you have to just keep going back. And I think you can't sell your tickets. Because it's like we're waiting to see, because we let last year's expire.
Yeah,
lapse.
We didn't go last year, so now we have
to. So you're in the pool with the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And so I don't know. Do we know when the next?
It's sometime in April. That's all I know. I haven't checked recently, but I haven't gotten emails about it either. So yeah. We're trying to go this year. It's not looking likely at this point.
It's not looking likely, but we're trying.
Yeah.
You might get stuck in that lobby and
exactly.
And that's it. But yep. I will say that it surprised me because the only con I had been to before was the ones mm-hmm. in Kansas City. And there's so much to do outside the convention center.
Yes.
That it's almost the Nerdist.
Yeah.
Right.
In
Carnival. Mm-hmm.
In what part?
They had it at Petco Park, which is the Park. Baseball stadium in San Diego at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still did that. But anyway, it's like you almost don't even need a badge.
Right.
You know, unless you really want to go to those panels. But there's so much to do. You could just go down there and... Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I don't know if maybe they did that because so many people couldn't get into
Probably.
The convention.
Yeah.
And the thing that was crazy was it wasn't that packed in the convention center
because
it's so big.
They had panels there because it's Nerdist, obviously. So we got to see Felicia Day. Mm-hmm. We saw Alan Tiddick talk.
New York and Black.
And Black Cats. So it was a lot of mm-hmm. fun. So it's like, if you're lucky enough, you can go and just sit there. And
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So, that's something to keep in mind. You just get a cheap hotel in San Diego and...
Or even if you get, passes for Thursday and Saturday, what do we do on Friday? Well, you can still go down there because there's so many things to do outside the convention center. Again, it's not as packed as some of the cons that we've been to here, where it's like you get in there and it's a busy time and you can't move.
And it's a
con. Yes.
I mean, just everything, getting your badges, I was really impressed with the way they do it. So, what can you do for you?
Right.
Yeah.
It's the con of cons.
That's right.
It is. We've considered going to the New York Comic Con because that's where our son is now. He went to undergraduate there, and now he's at Columbia Law in New York City. So, we get to see him as well. So, that we've considered that too, and I think that's the second largest. I mean, that's just right under San Diego. So.
So, you were mentioning Iron Fist earlier. Is there any kind of geeky kind of show that we should be keeping our eye on, maybe pay attention to, whether it's binge watch or maybe anything that...
We just finished watching The OA, which is a Netflix original, and it's only 8 episodes, so we blew through it in one day. It's really cool. It's got some supernatural kind of aspects to it, and it was just a really good story. We really enjoyed that. And of course, we watch all the superhero shows. Out of all of the ones, the DC lineup, Flash is our favorite. But we also feel it our duty to watch Arrow and Supergirl and Gotham and all of those. Luke Cage is another great one on Netflix, and we like Jessica Jones on Netflix. Is there any? I can't limit it down on there's so many on TV, which is crazy because growing up we had $6 Million Man and that was all you had, or Knight Rider, or there's just a small handful, and now it's everywhere, and which is a geek's delight. But we really need to quit our jobs just so we can keep up on TV.
That's what I say all the time. I have to quit my job.
I'm sorry. I'm not coming into it. It's kind of an office-based moment. I'm not coming into work today. Are you sick? No, I'm going to watch TV.
Sorry.
Netflix needs a geek category.
Right.
Instead of, because it's not, because a lot of people think it's just sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily sci-fi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Did you watch Travelers on Netflix?
Oh,
Andy?
I did not.
Oh, you should check that one out. That's more of a sci-fi one. We liked that one.
Yeah. Okay.
That was only about 8 episodes
as well.
Yeah, it was
only about 8. Yeah, Eric McCormick, and they're time travelers who travel back in time to kind of stop the bad thing happening that makes their future terrible.
Which is basically
movies.
I did watch Timeless on NBC.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that one.
They just finished the season finale and it has not been renewed, so you're gonna have to go seek it out. I enjoyed it. I don't think my husband would have enjoyed it that much. He didn't watch it. I just watched it by myself. I enjoyed it, and it's a similar kind of thing, where you have to travel back to the past and so you maintain the future kind of thing, which is also Legion of, oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember the name. Not Legion, League of Legends. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, did you like Iron Fist? Because a lot of critics have been panning it.
We haven't watched it yet. Don't spoil it.
There's too much TV. But I think it's interesting. Like, of all the Marvel shows, like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, I've only loved it, but then some critics were not too happy with.
Yeah, and we've heard the same thing about it, about Iron Fist. There's people are upset about the racial thing, and other people are upset about why did you choose that one, and I kind of have to agree. But I think they're building to a Defenders series, which is all of those. So it's Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all of that. So they're building towards something. I believe, if I remember correctly from my husband, he's a huge comic book nerd. So he like fills in all those kinds of gaps for me. Otherwise it does look random. Like, why did you pick this person for their own series and everything? We'll watch it. We're not like super duper excited about it. It's just not that we're just not, but we have a 3-episode rule that any new series, we watch at least 3 episodes because the first one could just not be good, you know? So we'll watch at least 3 and then we decide if we're going to keep going. But it's kind of surprising to me that they launched it on St. Patrick's Day, because people go out on St. Patrick's Day. We did. And so that's why we haven't watched it yet. Anyway,
Marvel's trying to do the same thing they did in the films, where they do all these separate ones and then they bring them together for the Avengers. So that makes sense, because obviously that formula works for Marvel.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately DC didn't get that memo.
Yeah.
But anyway, have you met Jason Aaron?
I shook hands with him. If you can call that meeting, then yes. We went to the library had a sci-fi storytellers event, and they had him and Bruce Bannett, who is a special effects producer kind of guy, and they're both from the Kansas City area, and it was a fascinating event. It was just so super cool to hear, like you said, that background information and insight into how something actually works, or the amount of work it takes to get some of these things to happen. Because, you know, we just sit down and watch the show and it's already a produced thing, but there could be years of preparation involved behind the scenes that took to get that put together, because of pitching and timelines, and the studio isn't ready yet, you know, conceptually or whatever. So it was really interesting, and they both showed examples of their work, and it makes me reevaluate what I'm doing with my life, because obviously I'm not nearly so productive or creative. So, it was really cool, and I went with my husband, and we both really enjoyed it, and Bruce Bannett followed me the next day on Twitter, so you know I'm kind of big like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to get an interview with him and just do a short few questions and feature him on the blog about what he's been doing, because his body of work is insane. He worked on Serenity, he worked on Breaking Bad, and he actually showed how he did one special effects scene in Breaking Bad, and it was fascinating. It was really, really cool.
Okay, so what are your plans for Planet Comic Con? You have your media badge now.
Yes. So I'm definitely going to the opening ceremonies slash press conference. thing. I've never been to a Comic-Con press conference, so I am just curious all that goes on. And I talked to the chief marketing officer, and he was saying that, you know, they bring out all the celebrities, so at least I'll have the photo op of shooting them from the audience. Here's everybody, and they'll take up the whole stage. But so I'm very curious about what happens there and how it works and everything. And then I don't know if you've heard of the group, oh my god, I'm blanking on them too. Roland and Whelan costumes, I think. Oh my god, I need to know this. Anyway, they make wheelchair costumes for kids that are in wheelchairs, because they have a son that, like, every year Halloween would come around, and of course there's no costumes at Walmart that can fit over a wheelchair, you know. And so they wanted to incorporate the wheelchair into the costume, and they've done some amazing things. Walking and Rolling, that's what it is. And they are going to have kind of a big reveal thing at the opening ceremonies. And so I'll be there also to kind of cover that. And they've reached out to me to help cover that. So that's that. I'm really excited to see what their big reveal is. So that'll be cool, too. And then other than that, I'm planning to pay attention more to panels, because when I went to Kansas City Comic Con last year with my press badge, I just walked the aisles and talked to all the vendors and everything, and I've featured a number of them in blog posts and things like that, but then I didn't go to any of the panels. So I would really like to attend more of the panels and kind of report on them, because you know, all the vendors have websites and stuff where you can go see, but if you're not at the show, you have no idea what happens at a panel or the kind of cool things or the highlights and things like that. So that's something that I could report on. So I'm going to pay a lot more attention to what's happening there.
Well, Angie, where can people get information about the brunch?
Yeah, I want to know more about this.
Oh. Yeah, Geek Girl Brunch. It's a global group of women getting together, usually once a month, usually for brunch, and brunches usually have themes. But you can do anything you want with it. And there are chapters all over the world. So we've got the Kansas City chapter, there's a St. Louis chapter, there's a Chicago chapter, there's a bunch of chapters in California, there's one in Germany, there's a couple in the UK, I think India is going to start one. I mean, it's literally everywhere. It's global. It's really blown up. And it started with this, just a group of women that started going to brunch together in New York City. And they were all geeks, and it was like maybe three or four of them, and they just regularly started going to brunch, and they're like, more people need to have this feeling of tribe, you know, of people that get them when so many other people just think you're weird. So, and they started rolling out a framework for people in other areas to start their own chapters. And they've got an official onboarding process and all these documents, and are always available for questions and helping getting started and things like that. And so it's been nearly 2 years ago that the Kansas City chapter started, and I co-founded it, the chapter, with another woman. And at first I just signed up for the mailing list to hear more about if it came to the Kansas City area. And you need two people to be officers to start a chapter. And so they're like, they emailed me and they're like, we have one other person. Would you like to start the chapter? And I'm like, I would like to attend a meeting before I start doing something that I am, but I'm like, sure. I just, you know, you got to put yourself out there to try new experiences. And so we just have been making it up as we go along and find out what people want to do and things like that. And The first one we met at Cheesecake Factory on the Plaza, and it was represent your favorite fandom. So that was easy. We didn't have to like do any research or anything like that. And people came in Doctor Who stuff, and people came in anime stuff, and all to Cheesecake Factory. So that was pretty cool. And one woman wore like a TARDIS dress and had like a little TARDIS hat, and she came to Cheesecake Factory on the Plaza right out in the middle of the day, and we had a breakfast, and there were about 20 people for our first event, so that was really cool and fun. And and we've been having events monthly since then. We had a Mystical Creatures brunch and like did Mystical Creatures trivia, and also that was around the Fantastical Beasts movie premiere, so that kind of inspired the theme, but we didn't go to the movie. And we made mason jar kits of butterbeer cookie mix, and we decorated unicorn horns, and so we do all sorts of stuff. So you can go to geekgirlbrunch.com and you click join, and that just puts you into our mailing list, and that's all it is. It's free. It doesn't require that you come to any events, or you're not committed to anything at all. It's just putting you on our mailing list so we can send you invites for when we have events. So and then you can also see our chapter page and who the officers are, and we have 5 officers now, so we've grown quite a bit. We've got 97 people on our mailing list, so it's a sizable group. Although usually we get 10 to 15 people at each event. I mean, mailing lists can be huge, but that's about what we get. And there's been a number of people who have been on the list for 2 years and haven't come to one event because it just keeps not working out with dates. When we choose. And so you come if you can, come if you're not in, you know, don't come if you're not interested in that theme, whatever. So, and we just send out we do all the planning behind the scenes, and you guys, people just come and talk about geeky things, and it's fun because everybody, even if you don't have that same fandom, they at least appreciate that you have that fandom and they want to learn more about it. And a lot of people have commented that, you know, I was never into graphic novels, and now I'm reading 2 of them. And so it helps open doors. I mean, once you're a geek about something, opens doors to other geekiness. So people love hearing about what other people are doing. So it's fun.
Very cool.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Get on the mailing list and go to one of those bunches.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Angie, thank you so much for taking time today to talk with us just about all things geek culture in Kansas City and all over. So
yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us, Angie, and thank you for featuring us on your website too.
Sure, absolutely. Always happy to spread the word about geekiness in Kansas City, because there is plenty to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, we'll definitely see you at Planet Comic Con in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd love to meet up. I absolutely would.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Angie.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, that does it for episode 118 of A Gal and a Gay. I'm Mick.
And I'm Katie. I do want to mention Angie emailed us after the interview, and she misspoke on some things, but that happens. She wants to say I'm sorry, but Angie, when you're listening to this, trust me, we have brain farts every time, and we often forget many things.
Right. So, whether we're drinking wine or not,
right? Exactly. So don't feel bad when you're on the spot and you're talking to someone in an interview. Sometimes your brain shuts down, and so don't feel bad about it. But I can tell you, for those listening, she knows her stuff, so it's a lot of fun to talk to her. So again, check out her website, caseygeeks.com,
and we will kind of sprinkle Angie throughout a couple podcasts over the next
we talked to her about a lot of different things, and so we'll do some different podcasts and throw some sound in there with her, so it's a lot of fun. So anyway, this is A Gal and Gay again.
And yeah, you can always you can now call us and leave us a message. That number 816-237-8422. It's on our website. It's also on our Podbean information. So again, 816-237-8422. And that's not the only way to contact us.
We're also on Facebook, A Gal and a Gay. We're also on Twitter, A Gal and a Gay. And you can email us at agalandagay@gmail.com. So you can reach out to us any which way you want to. And you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher. We're all over the place. So you can find us all those places. So again.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.